The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolene. How are you?
Like many people, I'm very curious about reading the now published Human Rights Watch report on torture by both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. I don't know about you and our listeners, Kathy, but I think it will make some riveting reading.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. So they've released this special report, Human Rights Watch. The report on Hamas and Palestinian Authority torture. So it's a very misleading headline. Who's supposed to be torturing who?
No, they both are.
Well, they both have been found guilty of torturing critics or dissidents or political opponents. And what the Human Rights Watch are accusing them of doing is also creating parallel police states, one in the West Bank and one in the Gaza Strip. And they have spoken to some 147 witnesses. And quite incredible that these witnesses have come forward to give testimony, and they have quite a detailed account of abuse and human rights abuses or torture. One which is cited, which is a common practice, is one called Shabeh, which is being used by both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. And this is described as being a scenario where detainees are placed in very, very painful positions for long periods of time. And this can cause a tremendous amount of trauma or distress to the body. And according to the report, this leaves little or no trace on the body, so no evidence. Now, what witnesses are saying is that this is governmental policy for both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, and some detainees have spoken about being forced into squats, having to stretch their arms above their head and leave them sitting for hours on end, which has resulted in severe pain in their kidneys and spine, or feeling as if their necks would break or their bodies are tearing up inside. And according to the report, that both organizations use threats of violence, taunts, solitary confinement, beatings, and this includes the whipping of the feet of the detainees to try and get confessions or punish or intimidate. Now, we know, we've seen common practice in the Gaza Strip is either the torture of political opponents by tying them with ropes behind trucks and pulling them along the streets, which results in a tremendous amount of trauma to the body and sometimes dismemberment. I'm sorry to be so crass and so morbid, but this is a situation that is going on, that there is very, very little attention paid to, and the opportunity today gives an opportunity to expose these tremendous transgressions. One of the other practices that we are well known or well educated about is the practice of throwing homosexuals or anybody who Hamas or Fatah see as sexual or sexually deviant off the tops of buildings, horrendous torture and killing.
I've actually got the report in front of me, and it starts off, firstly it's got a picture, and it's got Israeli soldiers. They are surrounding a 16-year-old boy, and it's got the following headline. This is the Human Rights Watch World Report 2018, and the picture description says, Israeli soldiers detain 16-year-old Fawzi al-Junaidi in Hebron and amid protests in December over the U.S. decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That was taken in 2017 by Wissam, whoever. And it starts, this is the first line of the report. The Israeli government continue to enforce severe and discriminatory restrictions on Palestinians' human rights, restrict the movement of people and goods into and out of the Gaza Strip, and facilitate the unlawful transfer of Israeli citizens to settlements in the occupied West Bank. Full stop. That is the first sentence of the report. So what I'm saying is, if we're looking at a report and it's condemning Hamas and Palestinian Authority torture, Is it only that part of the report that is relevant and significant and honest, or do we throw it all out? I mean, where, help me to interpret this as a layperson.
Okay, I'm going to help you to interpret it, and you can actually go onto my Facebook page right now because I've published the report, and the report that I've got is two authorities, one way, zero dissent. This is the arbitrary arrest and torture under the Palestinian Authority and Hamas.
Okay, so this is from Human Rights Watch.
This is not the World Report. This is the one that deals specifically with Hamas and the Palestinian Authority.
So are we censoring, Ro?
Pardon?
Are we censoring?
We're not censoring. This is from Human Rights Watch. This is their actual report. It is on my Facebook page right now. You can go on and have a look. I'll give you the link to it as well. It's www.hrw.org/report/2018/10/23/2authorities1way0dissent. This particular report, I mean, in the World Report, I mean, if they don't use an opportunity to castigate Israel, Kathy, I think there's something, you know, wrong with Human Rights Watch that day, because we know that Israel is a target for them. But this is a report that is very, very specific to both the Palestinian Authority and to Fatah.
So my question is, do we ignore the other stuff that they're saying?
Or do we only pick out the
part that kind of, you know, follows a particular narrative? Help me to understand as a layperson.
I think it's very important to look at all reports. I think the importance of this report for us here in Israel is that, you know, it does show it's not only focusing on Israel, which is one of their modus operandi. They like to look at opportunities to castigate Israel. This is specifically with the other side, and it's very, very important because it brings to the fore a very, very important human rights transgression, one that is often lost when we talk about the conflict. You know, when we talk about any human rights transgressions on the part of Israel, Israel as a democracy has the apparatus to investigate these allegations. If a soldier does something wrong, or somebody in government does something wrong, or commits a human rights transgression, we have a Supreme Court, we have a judicial system, we have the mechanisms in place to investigate and to sanction, you know, depending on the result. In the Palestinian Authority area, which is the West Bank, and in the Gaza Strip governed by Hamas, there aren't these democratic apparatus. There aren't supreme courts and judicial systems like we have in a democracy. So there is the important difference, and why these reports are very, very important. You know, we saw the case with Azar, where he was accused of Elias Azaria. He was accused of, you know, shooting a terrorist. This became a big issue both for the IDF and in the courts and in the court of public opinion. Gaza and the West Bank, they don't have that. And often when we say, yes, you know, we're not a perfect democracy, we're not a perfect country, we do commit to transgressions, but we have the ability to bring transgressors to trial. On this side of the fence, we're looking at a completely different phenomenon, and that's why this report is so important.
Rolene, talk to us a little bit about Isaac Herzog, the chair of the Jewish Agency, who warns of an existential threat to Israel diaspora ties.
Well, this is also very important, and it opens up a debate, and I've specifically put it in because I sit here in Israel. I'm speaking to a diaspora community, and very often, you know, the chains of communication between Israel and the diaspora community are broken. And he touched on it today. He said that this is an existential threat, especially in the case of North America, and he was addressing the General Assembly of Jewish Federations of North America. America, where he said many young people, especially millennials, are struggling with identity. And what this is creating is a chasm between Israel and diaspora community. And I'm very curious. I would love to hear from the community, you know, what they feel. Do you feel that sometimes there is a divide between, you know, South African Jewry and Israel? I know that I walk a very interesting line as an Ola between, you know, my identity as an Israeli citizen and my day-to-day life, but also feeling very strongly connected to my roots, to my community in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Almost seems to me that he's not, you know, South African Jewry is so different. Our community is so different. We seem to have more cohesiveness and more.
Well, apartheid had an impact on the Jewish, on the Jews of this country.
Yeah, I wouldn't think he's talking about our community or communities like ours. I would think he's talking to an American community, which is so much more varied in its makeup.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, he generalized, but I think it's a great point to raise, and I think it's a very interesting discussion to have.
Raleen, we're going to have that discussion next time. Thank you for your time. Thank you for giving us the updates, and we will, that's where we need to leave it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thank you, Raleen. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.
God bless.
Cheers. Bye.